Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, let's rip. Gotta be Miss Smith and Envy for the little 9 yard. Yeah, check this out. Yeah, Triceptus Studios. Check it. Yeah, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toastin' it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by, looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your nine. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant all on. Yeah, God, it's the way how you touching me, sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
I like the way you always touching on me. I like the way you put chills on my body. I like the way you always on my mind. I like the way how you do it every time.
Prime time player, used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jazz. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the blinged up boots plus the lineup here. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help the stare. Living like Liberace with rockets to spare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was definitely a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one on one. What we playing for, she said, I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sun. Like,
how can I approach you again? You make my whole heart to flip. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Fuck you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel I'm fine. But still, let's tell, don't waste no time.
Terms you want to say, because basically I do think this person would make a great co-host for me. He's going to come in about 10 minutes. It was a person I actually worked with. His name is Crosby Tatum, and I was looking at his, he said he had some great news. Now, I will be having him back on the show again because this is a last-minute show, but he has some really wonderful news, so I just want to announce it to the world. And I will have him and the whole Triceptus Studios family on the phone. If they want to call in, feel free. We can talk as long as we want. I've got this for about maybe 2 hours, but even an hour was sufficient, or even a half hour, because I wanted to get news out there. Crosby, since I do consider Crosby a little brother of mine, the great thing about Crosby is I got the opportunity to work with him quite a few times in Boston. And when I actually went to audition, when I went to look them up online, I saw a video with Crosby, and he did a video with himself, and it was talking about his life in Triceptus Studios. And his music group, I think, is called Labs and Cat. So when I was watching Crosby, I said, this guy, he's got something. He's just something where he's an underdog himself, and I just had a feeling I could actually, you know, really work with him. So I went to an audition. It was for this TV series. It was a web, for a TV series for a pilot called All for One. And when I went there, the thing that I wanted to do, it was the fact to have my lines actually memorized. That's the point of me going really there. I says, I didn't think I was going to get a part. I didn't know if I was really fit to do a character, but I says, you know what? I'm going to go there just for the heck of it. I says, I feel comfortable with Crosby. He's someone I just feel something like a kindred spirit. So when I went to do the audition, it was kind of a lot of fun. And you know what? I was like, I'm just going to go all out. And after my audition was over, I was like, I just did some skit stuff just off the top of my head and just made them laugh really, really hard. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I know I made a lasting impression that made him laugh really hard. So Crosby turned around and says, you know, I'd like to work with you sometime in the future and this and that. So anyway, they did announce who people they selected for the TV series, All for One, for the pilot. And it wasn't me, but the good thing is Crosby said he didn't want to let me go. He said he actually wanted to write me into this series. So I was going to end up being this receptionist. It was kind of, very, how can I say, kind of crazy a little bit. And it felt like, wow, that's really great. So from then, we did the pilot, and we actually filmed in a real hospital. So I don't know if there's any futures for that. He actually had we had a showing of the pilot at a place, I'm trying to remember the name of it. I could probably have Crosby, when he comes on, talk about that. And also, he also does music with another person, which is Laz. Now, Laz is a rapper and a boxer, and they make a great team together. The music video that I was in the song Feel. And that was the song that I just played opening the show. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to play it once again because I really, really like the song, and I'm trying to get it as the ringtone. So once again, this show itself, it was just, you know, a spur of the moment. But I saw on his Facebook page, you know, he says he had good news. I don't know what he's going to say when he gets onto the show. And he says, oh, give me about 10 minutes because, once again, this is just a spur of the moment. But since, you know, I really have chemistry with Crosby is like brother and sister. I just feel whenever he has something, I just want to talk about it. And before I could only write about it, but now I can talk about it on the air. But the good thing is, after my show, even though it's live and on the air, it's archived, so people can actually listen to it. And I tested it, right, because I was thinking, I wonder, you know, if I listened to it a couple times, would it bring up my listens? So when I listened to the show, for some reason, I guess the program, the system itself, knows who's actually listened to it. I mean, not personally, but if it's from a computer, you can't really, you can listen to it as much as you want, but you're only considered one person. So that doesn't bring up, you know, my viewings or my listenings of my show. Even if I was to listen to my show for a few times, it's not going to show up in how many people listen to it. And I feel very lucky, for just as a beginner, one of my shows, almost 600 people actually listened to one of my shows. I've only had this show for almost 2 weeks now, and I was just going to originally be set up for Wednesday nights, and I actually did a couple other shows. And, you know, just doing this live on the air, it's actually a lot harder than I thought it was because you have to sit there and talk and talk. And like I said, I'm going to have guests in the future. So I'm working my way to try to make this show kind of fun. I mean, right now I'm just talking, so I'm a beginner, so I'm learning as I go and to run this. So I guess it's kind of great. I can put on a resume, you know, I'm running a radio show by myself, and I'm just thrown into it. But I have to say thank you to Charlie Girl. She's actually from Diamond in the Rough, Ordinary Woman, and she's had so many people on a show, so she's been very busy, and she just won a pageant, and I'm so proud of her. I'm so happy, and I think she's coming back up next weekend, and I told her, we have got to go see The Expendables, and I'm just so excited, because she's like me. She's an older version of me, and, well, I'm not going to say that what her age is, but she's unbelievably amazing, and she just does a lot of things that, you know, in a couple of the films, like, that I didn't want to go see, I wasn't going to go see Batman. it's not something that I was too hyped up to see. And now that I found out that she was actually in the film, I'm going to see the new Batman film because she was in the film. Not because of any of the other actors and stuff. I says, well, she was in the film. I don't know if they'll actually show up, but she was a Gotham police officer. So you know what? I got to go see it with it just to support her. Now, whether, once again, I don't know if I'll see her because sometimes, if you're on a set and you're playing an extra, you only get shown, for like a few seconds. I don't know if she had any lines. I haven't spoken with her because she's been doing quite a few things, and she's making appearances with the pageant she just won, so very proud of her. And the other good thing about Charlie is, you hear a lot out there, and people talk about minorities and such. The wonderful thing about Charlie, I mean, there's so many things that she's done in her life, and she's a mom with grown children, and, she's not sitting there just being handed things. I mean, you hear people saying, oh, minorities are actually being handed money, welfare, and stuff. Well, Charlie is a working woman. She was a state trooper, and, I do believe she retired, so she got into acting. And it's quite funny because she went to audition for a police officer role. They're like, no. And Charlie's like, what do you mean? She's like, I am a police officer. So it's like she came back on with all the police gear, and they're like, oh, well. And so I guess they had to see it to believe it, because you look at Charlie and she doesn't seem like a police officer person. So it's kind of amazing that this woman does so much. She's not lazy. She works hard. Sometimes I think she does too much. So if she hears me, she better get her butt up here as soon as possible so we can see a double hit on the in the movie theaters, because I'm saving two movie showings of two films, which is The Expendables and also Batman, just to see it with her and nobody else. Got that, Charlie? If you're listening, I know you probably don't even know I'm on the air right now because you're really busy, but if you're coming up next weekend where, I don't know, I'm pretty sure we are filming next weekend because Big Bro Z is actually doing an event this weekend. So maybe if we have enough time, we can see both movies, please. Anyway, well, I'm waiting for Crosby to call in. He should be calling in any minute now. It's 877-907-7217. Let's see. Maybe I should give a little props to my show. Let's see. Of course, I'm going to try to... Yep, I'm going right on the... on here, and I'm posting. I just don't want to hear any feedback because I'm going on to my episode. And I hope I don't hear myself talking. I'm going to paste this right onto my Facebook wall. Okay. I think it did go on my Facebook wall. Let's see what's going on. Just checking this out. Let's see. Okay. All right. I just posted it on my wall. So now that other people can see, if they want to listen to it, I know sometimes people just like to listen to the show or they listen to it afterwards and not live. So everybody has different schedules, but people are welcome to listen to the show afterwards. And Crosby, whenever you're ready, 877-907-7217. Well, anyway, I got into doing other things, especially this summer. I got into writing on Hub pages. And it's great because after a while, you get paid for publishing. Well, not after a while. I guess as soon as you start writing, you get paid. I don't know how much it is and such. It's just one of those things where the more you write, the more money you make. And you have to set it up with a Google AdSense account, and I'm trying to figure out how to do that. So that's another way I can get paid for writing. And I'm just going to write about things that, that has happened to my life, and also many different things. Whatever pops into my head, I'm actually writing in the articles online for Hub pages. So that itself, it takes, a little bit of work, a little bit of time, but I'm really actually feel blessed that I keep coming across these things because I know that some people don't actually have opportunities to do these things. So I know that I'm really blessed. And what's really amazing is that if I didn't move out of Boston, I do know for a fact that as of right now, if things didn't, you know, change in my life, I probably would have been in the projects on welfare. And I just feel very blessed that my life didn't end up that way. So it's kind of a blessing, and I'm very thankful each and every day where, you know, it's kind of nice to be living in a house and not just some place where I actually have to, you know, be controlled by the government, in a government place, and, you know, having a job, paying for a roof over my head. I feel even more blessed and not have anybody that's miserable in my life. So I also tend to find that, you know, the special people that are in my heart. So I just keep moving around and keep moving and keep doing things. And let's see. Okay. Hopefully Crosby will come in. Plus, I'm going to keep talking and talking because the reason why I'm actually doing the show today is for Crosby. Woo! I can't wait. I can't wait to get him on. Yeah, you just will not believe the excitement this guy have. Now, he's much younger than I am, and I've been to film festivals with the crew and everything from Tricepta Studios. We've been to, you know, we went out to eat afterwards, and we saw a film together. I forget which one it was. After the film festival, we just ended up seeing another film. I don't know if it was The Hangover. I don't even know why I went to see it. I think I got to see The Hangover for free, but I did end up seeing it, and, you know, it was just a good time. And afterwards, we all jammed in my car, and I think we went to the Hen House after a film festival, and it was just so much fun because all the guys that were there, they were just, you know, just unbelievably, just the energy from the family from Trisepta Studio. And Opal, she's one of the DJs. I loved her. She was so adorable, and in the music video feel, she was just, I mean, you know, she's just really sweet. I still remember she was very kind to me, so I'll never forget that. I only, you know, just that you do remember people. Some people I try to remember. Other people from there. I don't remember all names, but, you know, part of the cast from Tricepta Studios, like Laz and Kat, and even Laz, it was just really funny. When we were on set for All for One in the hospital, it was funny because I had my nunchucks with me, because every time I, you know, I go to set, I have my nunchucks with me. And I pulled them out, and I'm sitting there talking to Laz, and, you know, he's like, oh. And I was like, yeah, I really have nunchucks on my bag. So people don't believe it. I carry nunchucks with me. And when I show them, they're kind of like, oh, my goodness, you aren't kidding. And that's what I do. I try to practice when I'm on set. You know, it's kind of, it kind of helps me to focus. And it's just something that I'm very excited if I can actually show people how to use them a little bit. I mean, I'm not a pro or anything. But it's something that, you know, I just want to learn more and more. And I even have a bow staff. So it's kind of something where I'm learning even other weapons. And there's other things that I want to learn about. And thinking, you know, because since I am in the entertainment business, on a few things is where I'm lucky I don't have a criminal record or anything. I'm also thinking about, this is, sounds insane, but I think about getting a gun, and it's something where since I have no criminal record, I have no speeding tickets or nothing, it shouldn't be a problem for me to get a gun, and I would hopefully, you know, take the, you know, the safety training courses and stuff, because in my family, in my life, I've had, you know, hunters, people out in Montana that are actually hunters, and it's something that's in my life. I used to be on an archery league when I was younger, and I learned from my father. Few things that I did learn is how to shoot a gun, which was at Danvers and Middleton Line, Danvers Fish and Game Club, where you go and you become a member. And it's something where you can go to practice. Oh, I think he's here. Hold on. Let's see if this is him. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Shelly.
Yeah, who's this?
Dan McCready.
Dan, what's up, man?
How are you, girl?
I'm doing good. I'm just waiting for someone to pop on in.
Yeah, well, Mr. Tatum will be calling momentarily. He's apparently updating something. There's going to be big news.
Yeah, and I told him I saw it. And I usually don't have a show on Sunday. I says, because you have to set it up. So I had 10 minutes to get this show set up because it's every half hour. It's not by the minute. So I'm trying to grab a picture from his site, post it to that, do this. You have to set this up, the Blog Talk Radio. I don't know if you've ever done that. You have to do the tags and all this stuff. And it was like a few minutes, and then you're going to call in a couple minutes before the show. So when I finally got everything up and I called in for the show and put my pin in, it was like, you're live in 30 seconds. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. It was down to the nitty-gritty. And I'm just so psyched. And I cannot wait to hear what he has to say. It's like, Crosby, let's do this. If I can't get the whole Triceptor studio on right now, I'll have you guys back on the show. I don't mind doing another show. I just want him, you know, to broadcast to the world because he's a very hard-working guy.
Oh, he's been hustling for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. And so how did you meet Crosby?
You know, I actually, the way I met Crosby was I saw an audition, I believe it was on NewEnglandFilm.com, that they were putting together an in living color kind of sketch comedy show that the world came to know as The Block Presents. And, you know, I was like, well, hey, you can't have an urban comedy show without a token white guy, and that's the part I was born to play. So there you go.
It's true. You play like a doctor or something. Or, I mean, there's different things that I know about you, and you're actually pretty good at what you do.
Oh, well, thank you very much, as are you, Miss Shelley Nunchucks.
Yeah, and the few times, you know, that we got to hang together and everybody, you know, I really miss people back from Boston, and I miss the Triceptor Studio family.
Oh, it's a great family.
You know, yeah, and, you know, Laz and Kat and everyone, and I'm trying to remember everybody's names because it's just something I think I have a bad memory. I'm going to have to get kicked in the head a couple more times to remember things. But, you know, Dan, it's just been a pleasure. I mean, getting to know Crosby, and I have to be admitting about something. Even on my downtimes, I've had talks with Crosby, and he's been there. And, you know, even when I was actually, you know, when I first moved up here to Maine, because I moved up here a while ago and just having talks with him, he was always real. He was always talking with me, and it was just, like, kind of amazing that he has that spirit. He has that rocky underdog thing about him, and that's how I can relate to him.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's something where, you know, I was like, you're my little brother. Do you know what I mean? That's what I see him as, and he's very talented and everything. And even from his first video that I saw, and he was talking about his life and how he's creative, I said, that's what made me go to the audition for what I was talking about a while ago about All for One, the pilot series.
Oh, that was a great show.
Yeah, and I don't know what will ever happen to that. I mean, you know, anything's possible in the future. He could always redo it. I mean, he's got he's got something to tell us, so I don't want to say too much about anything new right now. I'm just talking about the stuff I want him to announce it on the air.
Of course.
Just a couple of things. Were you there the day of the video of Feel? Were you there too?
I believe I was. I wasn't involved in the video itself, but I always go to, like, the Triceptus premieres, and, you know, whenever Crosby does something, I always try to come on down for it, because, you know, Crosby's good people. That's just that's the way it is.
Yeah, he really is, and he's just, his energy, sometimes, like, when he does, like, little videos of himself where he did, he kind of, I don't know what he did, he kind of busted into the music videos. What is it? What do you say when you go to a place, you crash it? And I think he went to, I don't know. I don't know if you were there with him or who was there, but I remember, I think he said he crashed the Boston Awards. Did he do that? He said something about, I can't remember what it was, and he was videotaping himself. And maybe he did get invited, I don't know, but I was like, this guy's nuts. And I was like, you've got to love him because of his energy. And he tries, he's working in. And
oh, he is. You know what the thing is about the whole media business, whatever part of it you're in, you got to really hustle at it. And that's just the way it is. And Crosby gets that, you know. And the great thing about the Triceptus family is, you know, sometimes we have to go different paths on our own, but it's still Triceptus. That's how it is, and nothing ever changes that. And that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and did you do anything else with them? Like, besides the block, did you do anything else?
Well, I played the wacky doctor in All for One, of course.
Yeah,
and,
I remember that.
And then there was our gangland gossip. where I actually played an obnoxious person, if you can believe such a thing.
Yeah, wait a minute. I actually seen that. I'll have to watch it again. That's when Laz was like a ninja, wasn't he?
That's the one. Laz was a top-notch, I guess you could say, organized crime ninja assassin.
Yeah, I kind of really liked that. I mean, me with the martial arts and the ninja, I was like, ooh, what's this? And I, you know, I just really liked it.
And that whole movie made in 2 days.
I can't believe that. That's just, it was only 2 days?
2 days, and funny story about that. We filmed that in Opal's building. I probably shouldn't be saying this, but we did. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure we could film there, but we did, and it was came out well, and nobody got arrested, and that's all you can really ask when you make a movie.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I hear stories because a lot of people, a lot of independent filmmakers, I hear about stories about cops showing up on the set, and they don't realize, I mean, even though the cameras are there, because one of the films that I was in, and it was just an extra in a club scene, but there was another one where they were actually filming in a store, and they actually, you know, made an announcement that they were making a film, and, you know, they had, I think they had signs up, and they were inside, and it was a robbery. So the cops came in, and they actually drew their, I think they drew their weapons, and they're like, okay, everybody freeze, and they're like, this is just, you know, this is just filming, and the cops still didn't believe it, and I think it made the news. I think it was 27 Down. I think that's what it was, that film that I was in by a guy named Leo. What is his name? Now I feel so bad. It's one of the actors I work with. His name was Leo Maloney, but now I can't remember the director. I'm going to kick myself later for that, and I should remember things better. I want to be an actress, right? But, I mean, I just can't think. And I, for you not, you guys not to be arrested for that because, you know, run around like that, especially.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very grateful I wasn't arrested, so thank you to the people of that building complex because I'm not sure I could do hard time, so. And I don't really want to find out either, so.
Yeah, no, Dan, you're too pretty, you know. I don't want you to be someone's girlfriend in jail.
Well, neither do I, so that we're both agreed on that.
Yeah. And it was so, you know, not just working around you, but do you remember when we went to the film festival? Remember that? And I was waiting for you guys, and, you know.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard you talking the story before I called in.
Yeah.
That was a great night. And that place, by the way, the Hen House, that place makes great chicken and waffles. I don't care what anybody says.
It does, and I never had that experience. And I was like, you know, it was really kind of cool. Didn't we snuck in to see the Hangover?
No. We got in there legally. We paid everything. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute, because of the film festival. I was like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, we got in there completely legally. We bought our tickets. Come on, Shelley, work with me here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
we saw
remember
all
when
that
you bought
stuff.
The ticket, Shelley? Remember?
Yeah, I bought the tickets. Actually, we got tickets. I actually, the thing that happened is because you guys, it was like, I don't know what it is. I was there early. I mean, I'm an early person, and people, they have this thing where they'll show up late or whatever. So I'm sitting there waiting, and Crosby had my ticket, and I'm like, you know, I was like, oh, my gosh, where are they? And I was like, I ended up going in the first time by myself because the one of the other guys that I call my bro, another brother of mine, is Jay Giannone, who's a big Boston actor, and he's out there in California, and he had a couple of his films. And I was like, Jay, I can't get in. And you know what he did? He got me a ticket. So when I was in there, I said, you know what, right now I'm going to be the only one representing Tricep Studios.
Well, you know what the
so
thing
I
is about
there.
That? That was at the Somerville Theater, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And yeah, that place, I have a bad sense of direction, so I have a hard time finding my way out of a paper bag. But, yeah, we kind of had a hard time finding the place, so I think eventually we kind of all started trickling in once we took a wrong turn and got the right way.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
blame
I was
Google
living
Maps
in Deptford at
the time,
this so.
This is their fault.
Yeah.
The fault of Google Maps.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody was doing at the time. Now everybody has it on their phone, so it automatically talks to you. So it's kind of like now it's a little bit easy, but I was like, maybe it should have been good that you guys probably should have met at my house in Medford because Medford was closer to Somerville, but I think you guys got stuck in traffic too.
Oh, yeah, that was a terrible, terrible traffic day. I don't remember what happened, but... But at any rate, we saw a premiere. There was also that documentary about that guy who ran for mayor of some town in Rhode Island, I think. think it was Warwick. That wrestler ran for mayor of Warwick, the midget guy. I think we
Tell Crosby. Can you call Crosby on my phone?
I'm sorry, what?
And I posted on his wall. I can't disconnect my phone. I'm hooked up to the radio station. Can you let him know he's calling me now on my phone? He actually has to call the radio station.
Oh, okay. Let me see.
Yes. Can you do it? Can you text him while you're on the phone with me?
I'm actually Facebooking with him, so I'll tell him to call the radio station.
Okay. Because I was like, because I can't switch over because I think he's trying to get a hold of me. And he's like, that's what happens sometimes, but I post it on my wall. I try to post the toll-free number. Oh, you know what it is? I don't know how many people can call in at one time.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? If you got to talk with Mr. Tatum, I will gladly click off. Can I just plug something before I go?
Sure. Go right ahead, Dan.
I would like to ask everybody, I'm working at Cape Cod Broadcasting at the moment, doing the news at the top of every hour from 3 to 11, WQRC.com. You can find out everything going on in Cape Cod.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll definitely have to check it out. And you can repost that information on my wall, okay?
Well, sounds great, and great talking to you, Shelley. It's glad to see the blog show is going well.
Thank you very much, and as soon as I figure out, maybe I can have everybody on at once, but as of right now, I don't know if it's just one person, but there's another telephone number to call in. It's 347-989-1473, so that's another telephone number if you want to call back in, Dan.
All right, I think that's the one I called in on, so all right, well,
okay.
I will talk to you later, Shelley, and everybody, you're going to enjoy Mr. Tatum, and surprise, surprise, he's got announcements. It'll be great, so stay tuned for Mr. Crosby Tatum, and Shelley, as always, it's been a pleasure.
All right, same here, Dan, and you take care.
You as well.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, now I'm trying to see how to run this, and I thought it was possible to have more than one person calling at one time. So, Crosby, if you're listening, call 877-907-7217. Once again, I'm just winging it as I go. So there's two numbers to call in. It's 877-907-7217, and another one is 347-989-1473. So there's actually two numbers to call in, and that was Dan McGreedy, and I've actually worked with a guy who's a great guy, and he's a great sense of humor, and it was quite fun that night. We all went to the film festivals, saw the stuff that we were involved in, and we got to go to the Hen House, which was a great atmosphere because they were actually doing poetry, and I never had this combination, chicken and waffles. Yeah, it sounds maybe kind of weird, but it was good. So I think the man is calling himself. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Shelley, how you doing? This is Crosby Tatum on Surprise, Surprise.
Oh, my gosh, Crosby, I am so psyched now. It's going to be a real good show now.
Yes, and I have a special guest with me. This is Javon Holland, J.O. City of Tri-City. J.O., are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. What's going on?
Oh, great. I got more guests calling in. Oh, this is actually a great show. It's really great. I love when people call in. It gets me all excited. Like, I'm drinking a power drink right now. I'm going to be bouncing off the wall now because you guys just made my day.
That's good. I'm glad I could make your day.
Yeah, so are you
for allowing us on the show.
So you guys, what was that, Crosby? I wanted to know, like, what's going on. I kind of zoned out on the radio station. I didn't hear what you just said.
Well, no, we just wanted to say thank you very much for allowing us to be here on your radio show today, because we're about to drop a major bomb on your show as we speak.
I am so excited. You've got to tell me. I can't even sit still right now.
Well, for your listening audience and for the listeners all around the world, all across the globe, we would like to personally announce that not only has Amber Michelle joined the cast of Surprise, Surprise as the female lead, Cynthia Simpson, but we have now officially casted two new members into the cast of Surprise, Surprise, and they are, number one, Allison Watchler, who has over 20-plus years of experience in the entertainment industry, from All My Children all the way to The Exchange, and to the person who is on the line with us today, Mr. Javon Holland. J.O. City is officially a part of Surprise, Surprise.
That is correct.
I am so excited. What was that?
I But that is correct. I'm officially a part of Surprise Surprise. I'm just glad to be even on the same set with a lot of these talented actors and actresses, and it's going to be a great project. I encourage everyone to see it as soon as it is out and available to the public. You will not be disappointed.
I know I'm definitely not going to be disappointed because I've worked with you guys a couple of times, so I already know this talent there, and I already know that Trisepta Studios, no matter where I go in this world, even if I end up working with Jackie Chan in China, I'm Trisepta Studios for life.
Oh, I like that. I like the way that sounds.
Oh, I
yeah.
definitely do. Shelly has always been such an amazing supporter for our project. Matter of fact, she was one of the first contributors to financially for our feature film project. So she has always supported us and always given us the encouragement and support that we needed in order for us to make this film a reality.
Yeah, I just think you guys are talented. When I see something, I don't care what people says. Of course, you know, it's just how I am. And when I, especially people I've worked with who always have been kind to me, and I think you're a very kindred spirit, Crosby. And working with you guys on set, I just feel blessed that I had the honor, you know, and just knowing that even when you were going through hard times and just knowing you are talented and you're like that Rocky. You're like me. You're like the underdog. But I know. I just believe in you. I believe in you 100%. I believe in Trisepta Studios. And I'll say that, and I always post the video that I was in and feel, stuff I've done with you, even at the hen house, pictures of me and you with the nunchucks and everything. I post that stuff because I believe in Trisepta Studios, and I want you guys to do most of the talking. I think we, you know, as much as you want to talk about, promote, whatever you can say, so I want you guys to tell me everything, whoever wants to go first, Jay or Crosby, whichever one is up to you.
Actually, I was actually thinking you ago. I mean, the audience is starting to know I'm a regular at this point, so let's get into Javon Holland a little bit. Let's get into Jay Holland a little bit.
Yeah, so,
okay.
I mean, nothing new. A lot of people know me. They know me under my moniker, JL City. That's my artist name. You know, just working on some new music right now. I definitely was surprised to get the call from Crosby asking me to be a part of the film. And, you know, without a doubt, I had no doubts in my mind. Definitely was like, yes, I'm on board. You know what I'm saying? Just like you, Shelly, it's always feel that vibe of talented people and very supportive of any project that that we're doing collectively, you know. So it's like I said, it's a blessing and it's an honor. So
yeah. So how did you get started into acting, Jay?
Oh, wow, it's funny. I can't even sit here and say I did acting classes or anything like that. It's just it's just a passion. It just started off with me, you know, playing practical jokes on friends, you know, and people used to tell me, oh, you played that role so well. You know, they're like, oh, you played that role so well. Like, you really fooled me. You really fooled me. And then, you know, a couple years down the line, you know, Crosby Tatum, you know, he came up to me and, you know, my brother Lazarus, and they were like, you know, we're actually doing a sketch comedy show called The Block. You know, we think you should be a part of it. And I stepped onto that, and that really just blossomed and brought me to new heights. It brought, you know, not only just me, but the rest of the show to new heights. And, you know, it just opened up a lot of more avenues just like that. You know, I have a couple other movie directors who had called me just to do small parts or even like kind of major parts. So it's just, like I said, it's just a blessing, and I feel like it's a natural calling. So that's how I actually got started.
That's really, you know, and sometimes it can happen by accident. I mean, I think that's what it is. But if you have that natural talent, I mean, some people don't necessarily go to school for it, and it seems like you have, you know, that talent to do it that way, you know, and especially if it's improv, if you have experience with improv or doing things that, you know, your whole life or doing little skits growing up, you know, with your friends. And if you have that heart inside, I mean, that could lead to something even bigger when you're older as an adult. You don't know, like as a kid, you just don't know, but you have a natural ability to do something. So, you know, it seems like it's working well and in your favor. And I'm just so excited. And I honestly have been waiting on, like, you know, pins and needles to hear about Surprise Surprise, because Crosby's been working on it for a long, long time. And it's something where, I mean, this has been a couple of years. This is not something that's an overnight thing and just hearing about it. And, I mean, you know, and then it could lead to something else. I mean, everybody that's involved with DJ and everybody else, I mean, you never can tell. With one thing, it can lead to other things for other people. So I'm just pulling for everybody that's part of this. So I'm very excited. So is there anything else, Jay, that you have lined up? Any other projects besides Surprise Surprise?
Like I said, just musically now. Musically just working on a nice little LP. My actual debut, I'm so used to writing songs for other people, so it's now to actually try to focus on me. So I figured I owe myself and do myself that favor and, you know, put out an album. So we're working on it currently, me and my producer, Rudiman, you know, Crosby himself has added some tracks and probably will send more over that'll probably be on the album. And just, I'm just having fun with everything, you know, just taking life as it is. You know, so can't really complain, you know. So like I said, just stay tuned, you know, the album. If you haven't had my Facebook page, you know, definitely hit me up on my Facebook, which is Jay Holland, which is J-A-E Holland. You know, so that's on Facebook. And then, you know, my Twitter, you can reach me at J-O City, which is J-A-Y-O-C-I-T-Y.
Okay, and as we're talking right now, I'm actually seeing, I think I have you as a friend. I'm not sure. I mean, people, they do, I think this is you. Oh, JJ. Yeah.
Oh my.
I'm adding you as I know. I don't know when Tricepta Studios, everybody that had Laz and Opal and another girl, I think, and I was like, I'm so horrible with names, and I want to be an actress, and someone should kick me in the butt. And I'm like, oh, yeah, the cute guy, yeah. Okay.
I like the compliment. Thank you.
I mean, I was like, hey, I know good-looking men when I see him, believe me. But, you know, it's kind of, I mean, I work with men, and I'll do stunts and everything, but I'm kind of, you know, when guys are cute, I'm kind of a little shy. It's just, believe it or not, I could go jump off the building with men, but, you know, I think that's why with Surprise, Surprise, on my last show, I think I read about it, you know, and it was like, it's kind of, I can relate to it, because what Crosby's going through in the film, and I'll let Crosby explain, I go, that's me. Because I could do all these crazy stuff. I'll try to get kills in a film or whatever I'm doing, just like, you know, to do those parts, and I'll do it with men. But when it comes to in my life, when it comes to a really cute guy, I'm kind of like, I'm like a stupid, you know. When it comes to real cute guys, I don't know what to say. I just talk, and I get so nervous. And it's just something like, you wouldn't think that, because you know, working on many sets with guys that are actually athletic and stuff, I think what it is because when I go work on a set, I'm there in mode to work. And I don't matter who's there. I mean, you know, it's kind of, you know, I mean, that's just how I am. And, you know, I just have the mindset where I'm there to do a job, I'm reliable, who's ever around me, everybody's on the same level. Like the director, you pay attention to the director, who's ever on set. So I'm focused on lines or whatever they want me to do, swing nunchucks around. And so it's kind of like, and it's kind of hard because if you say someone's cute, it's like, you know, I'm honest. I think if someone's cute, it's like, is Shelly hitting on me? I was like, you know, that's what I write on people's faces.
You know,
you're good looking, you know?
there's always a good way. Like I always, you know, I encourage people. Like I tell them, I mean, closed mouths don't get fed. Yeah, if you find someone attractive or you like them, it's nothing wrong to pay someone a compliment, especially in a professional setting. Is it a compliment as long as you don't come across as, you know, like, okay, that's that girl. You might want to keep a couple of feet away from her, but, you know what I mean, you don't want to have that happen. But like I said, it's always, always, you know, it's good to give someone a compliment. Just like, no, and you never know how that may help someone else's self-esteem because they may be feeling like they're not pretty or something like that, and then you go on and tell them, they're like, wow, you know, I need to hear that.
You're right. You're 100% right, Jay, because even with women, and I see something, and it's like, you know, it's really weird how the perception of others think, because with, you know, me loving martial arts and other things, you know, being a strong woman, and I give compliments to women and stuff like that. People have asked me the really stupidest questions. That's why I'm like, I don't know where people get these ideas. They either think, you know, I like women, like, you know, in a sexual way, or I'm a dominant matrix. And I'm like, I am not anything along those lines. I was like, I like men, but I love, you know, good-looking men that are intelligent. And I'd rather sit around, honest to God, a man that has a mind, because it's someone I can have a conversation with. And, you know, it's just, I mean, having a mind is sexy.
Yeah, definitely is. I mean, confidence, not cockiness, confidence breeds sexiness. So if you're confident in yourself and in your abilities, like I tell people, I'm never afraid to get rejected. I mean, rejection is a part of life, and it only teaches you how to be better in your approach and everything else. So, I mean, as long as you're confident in what you can do, everything else will work in your favor.
Yeah, and it's actually a great lesson that that JoJo really teaches. Like, everyone, even your friends or family, you know, they always just say, "Hey, be yourself. Be that person that you want to be. You know, and don't try to be anyone else because people won't respect you if you're somebody else or, you know, not of that regard." And I had my moments where I became socially unconfident because I felt like I wasn't somebody else or like a Jay or anything of that nature. So I pretty much just settled on, okay, this is who I am. If people can't accept me for who I am, then they just can't accept me at all. And I can live with that. And basically, you know, it's just having the confidence just to say, hey, I could talk to anybody in the world, you know. I mean, this is a person, me personally, I've talked to quite possibly the biggest stars in our industry today, from the Tom Joyners to the Tangi Millers to the Rich Galleons to Christian Keys, you know. I mean, I've talked to basically TV stars to basically the biggest film producers out there. And I feel that, you know, for anybody to know if they feel down on themselves, down on their luck, they certainly they just can't get down on themselves because, honestly, if you get down on yourself, it's just, you know, it's not because you just put so much pressure on yourself. You just be yourself. Be the person that you want to be. And then guess what? Everything is just going to fall through.
Yeah, that's 100% right. And when I first got into the industry, you know, and so this is why, another reason why I love, you know, your idea with surprise, surprise. I had a fight over the fact is that Hollywood, you know, huh?
Shelly, before you continue, I think you have a caller in queue right now.
Do I have another call in queue? Let's see if I can bring that person up. Did Jay drop?
Nope, nope.
Oh, gosh, what time? I go. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who's the next caller?
This is Allison Walkler. Can you hear me?
Hey, Allison, how you doing? Yep, I can hear
you.
Shelly. Welcome to our next cast member who's basically in Surprise Surprise.
That's
the
right.
Lovely Allison
I'm
Walker.
Here. I'm your teacher.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm doing good, and this is just a great day. It's a great Sunday, and I have a great bunch of people on the phone with me.
That's terrific. It is. It's a beautiful day. It's really hot out there, though. I hope you're cool in there.
Well, actually, so that I could hear everybody, I turned off the AC, so while I'm on the show, it's kind of hot in here, but to sacrifice for the show so that I can hear everybody clearly, I'll do it.
That sounds fair enough. That sounds like a good idea. Make it quick.
Allison, this is actually the first time you two are meeting, but Allison, I want you to meet Javon Holland, who is your co-star in the movie.
Hi, Javon. How are you? Nice to meet you.
I'm great. Feel free to call me Jay. I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine, Jay. Good to talk to you and meet you.
Yes, likewise.
I know this is completely unique and very unorthodox, but me being the person I am, I love connecting people. I love connecting, whether you're face-to-face or basically if you're on a line or two. Doesn't matter.
In other words,
I love connection.
You're kind of a matchmaker. That's what you can call yourself.
Yeah, I think that's what these next movies.
Yeah.
The matchmaker. I can already see it myself. The man who matches.
Yeah, so there you go. You get a little bit of Jewishness in you that way, too.
Not the Jews!
Yeah, there you go, Yentl. All right.
So yes, we just casted Allison. Allison has quite possibly one of the most impressive resumes I have ever seen in the game today. And, you know, personally speaking, like, you know, I just loved what I saw out of Allison, and I felt that she is absolutely perfect for the second female lead in Surprise, Surprise, Mrs. Adrienne Lyman, the character that she's going to play, which JoJo's character in the movie is going to be known as Drake Murray. The you know, the ladies' man, in a sense.
We'll keep it honest. I'm a bachelor, so.
Oh,
that's
boy.
What we're
gonna
play.
Oh, boy. Now we got a dating game thing going here, huh?
All we need is the theme music. I'm sure Shelly can cue it up.
Oh, there you go. No. Well, I'm married, so, you know, I can't play that game, but But, you know, it's acting, and we're all fair there, right?
Exactly.
I'm thrilled to be on the team. I really am. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll have a great time. And if we're having a great time, it's going to come off on screen.
Yes, hashtag Team Surprise. That's what we are, hashtag Team Surprise. Probably Twitter handlers
out there. I can't wait. I definitely can't wait, because let me just say, I've worked with Crosby, and I actually call him. I actually have him as a family member on my Facebook. I call him my little brother, because I love Crosby to death. I mean, just to work with him a few times, I have it in my heart, and even from the few years that I've been away from Boston, where I'm working on things myself, and just, you know, keep it in contact with Crosby. And Crosby, we've had conversations on the phone, because we're both underdogs, and it's something where this project that he's doing is very special to me, because I feel it in my heart. I go, I feel it. And, you know, I always try to talk about stuff that I've been involved with Crosby. You know, I call him my little brother, because he's such a special person to me. And I always say, no matter where I go, and my big dream is to work with Jackie Chan. And that's, if I end up in China, I'm still Tricepta Studios for life. I say that to everybody. It's something, you know, I'm part of the family, and it's something that I always carry in my heart no matter where I go.
Oh, that's so sweet. Crosby, you must be so touched. I bet you're blushing right now.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it.
Oh, I know.
Crosby,
let me ask you,
how
did you come up with Surprise, Surprise as a title?
Well, honestly, the process with Surprise, Surprise, it was just so organic. Just for a brief background on how this movie came about, it was 2005. Me and Laz were basically in our – he was at my house, and we were just coming up with ideas just to figure out what we wanted to do. All for One was a product of that, and now Surprise, Surprise was. So basically, Laz came up with the story of the movie. I wrote the screenplay. Took at least a good 2 years just to get the first draft off, and then pretty much subsequent years to this point of rewrites. And now we're at a point where basically it says it's time to go and make a movie. And, you know, you hear this from a lot of people, a lot of filmmakers that say, you know, hey, if you want to be a filmmaker, go and make your movie. Doesn't matter, you know, what you got, just make your movie. Tell your story. Because the most important thing that that people will tell you is that, okay, yeah, you say you're a filmmaker, but where's your film? You know,
yeah.
You say you're this, yeah. You say you're that, but, you know, hey, where's your project? So in brief study, it was just basically a story that basically me and Laz were picking apart. I put a little bit of myself and also a little bit of Laz, and I just pretty much maxed this all the way out to make these characters what they are, which Crosby is the smart but socially unconfident college student, and Jay is the, you know, the ladies' man, but Crosby's best friend, down for whatever. And
right.
So with Cynthia Simpson being the woman that's searching for love online, and Mrs. Lyman being that helpful guide for Crosby to get over his fear of rejection with women, in a sense, mm-hmm. by also trying to make sure he does the best project possible.
Right.
Feel that you got a lot of elements here that people can relate to and that people can really enjoy and really follow the journey of how one person's action can affect the lives of many people around him.
That's so true. You know, and especially like with the internet and everything today, one thing can get anywhere. I mean, everyone gets affected so quickly by things, you know? It's like a chain reaction.
Yeah, and it's not just also just on the internet side, but it's also on the organic side when we meet people, when we understand people. You know, we all try to – every single thing that we do, it just affects other people as well. Doesn't matter if it's just online. It's just – it's all plutonic in a sense.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So basically, this, you know, the story you tell, I tell to so many other people, and they're like, wow, this is such an incredible story. And hats off to Laz for coming up with such an amazing concept. And pretty much, I just try to do the best I can to make this magic reality. And that's the job. And pretty much, that's what a producer is, a person who can really put all the pieces together and make sure that you come out with the best possible project.
That's right. That's right. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing, which is so terrific. Well, I'm very excited to be a part of it. I think it's going to be really, really exciting, and I can't wait to meet all of you.
Likewise, definitely.
I think everyone's
like I said,
excited.
Now. All right, that's great. Well, I'm gonna sign off now. I'm gonna head out, but I just wanted to check in and send love to everybody and all my best wishes.
Okay, I'll say. Is there any place?
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
How about say, Allison? Go ahead, JoJo.
Okay, Claude. I'll say likewise. It, honestly, it's going to be an honor working with you.
You
thank
too,
you
Jay.
For
I can't
on
wait.
To,
all right,
thank
we
you
have
for
a lot of fun.
On,
going.
And we'll see you.
Absolutely. See you okay, set. Take care, guys.
Well,
thank you
for being on the show, and you enjoy your Sunday today.
Thank you, too. And you get outside there when you can. There's supposed to be a great meteor shower tonight, so get out of there eventually, okay?
Okay, I will. Okay, all right. Thank all right. you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye, Allison. And make sure you find Allison. She is on IMDb.com if you guys have not checked her out. She has, like I said, impressive film credits all the way from working with people, companies like Marshall to Robert Wahlberg in The Exchange and also on All My Children. She is, you know, we got some heavy hitters with this entire feature film project. And basically, like I said, this is going to be quite possibly one of the biggest films that Boston's ever seen, and honestly, I would like to have quite possibly the biggest premiere in Boston history as well.
Oh, so. I would somehow try to make it down there, and, you know, I'm really happy, you know, that you're able to do this, because I remember when you first got into this has been a couple years. This is not something that, you know, it just came about. You know, a lot of people don't realize when you do independent filming that sometimes a film itself can take 5 or 6 years to get done.
You know what happens though. It takes, you know, it could take as long as we want, but as long as the end product is a great product, that's all we can ask for.
Yeah. It definitely is that.
So yeah, you can honestly say it's been a good 2 to 3 years just of us really pushing to make this thing a reality, and we went through so many avenues just to figure out what's the best way for us when pretty much the answer was right in front of our faces. It was the fact that we had to do it on our own. Not sure if anyone knows this or not, but Ed Burns gave out quite possibly what I feel is a really good roadmap to make a movie. I mean, you can make a movie for a dollar all the way up to $200 million or even beyond that. You can make the biggest movie like for $10 billion, a gazillion or whatever. But as long as you just have all these pieces in place, as long as you got the technology and equipment, and you could scrounge up and try to get more, I think that you can really make a tremendous project, and you could really just tell your story. It's to the point now where pretty much it's all accessible. It's pretty much how do you want to get this thing out there, and why you want to get it out there, and make the best film possible.
Yeah, and make it really decent. And like when I say make it decent, like people like they feel like might be insulting them, but when I say decent, meaning it's like if half the stuff you know you see on Netflix, you just sit there and wonder how these films get on Netflix, or they're being sold, or they're being on TV, and it's like you know that you could bring something even better. So it's like you know that, I mean, look at all the reality shows that are out there. It's gotten so way out of hand, and personally, I've stopped watching TV, stopped paying for TV, and I only watch Netflix because I don't like TV at all and what it's become. So it kind of surprises me that, you know, that people like yourself, Crosby, like with your company, doesn't have more opportunities. I guess you just have to make that, you know, that big splash in the big ocean, the little fish in the big ocean. You know what I mean? You're coming from a little pond and, you know, come from where you're coming from. And since I'm speaking about coming where you're coming from, I want to know about you, Crosby, because, you know, we're sitting here talking about your film. I want to know how you got involved in everything. You know, how everything started for you.
Oh man, that's a tight loaded question. If anything,
I hate to interrupt you guys, but I really have to sign off right now. I'm about to actually go pay a little kudos, but Shelly, once again, I just want to thank you for having me on the show. Crosby, thank you for casting me. We already know we have great chemistry together, and to all the listeners out there. All the listeners out there, hashtag Team Surprise. You know, surprise, surprise, go to the page. Like I said, you can add me on Facebook and on Twitter. Once again, Jay Holland, J-A-E Holland at Facebook. Or on Twitter is J-A-Y-O-C-I-T-Y, which is J-O City.
Well, thank you for being on the show.
Well, no problem, guys. And once again, Team Surprise, and look forward to seeing everyone at the premiere.
Alrighty, same here.
A year or two down the line, or even shorter than that. But hey, like I said, thanks JoJo for accepting my the part of Drake Murray in Surprise Surprise, and we appreciate him coming on board with this film. Thanks, man.
But no problem, guys. You guys take care.
Well, thank you, and have a good day.
Later.
You too.
All right. Bye. Well, that was fun.
So,
I'm sitting here up here, you know, just enjoying listening to you guys talk, because it's something where that's what I want people to do, call in, you know, talk about themselves and their projects. So I just like to let it go with the flow. So I guess basically that's how my interviews are going to go. I'll just let people talk. And I know we got quite a while to go, so if you got time, I think we have an hour left. So if you want to go and talk about yourself, Crosby, feel free, because I want to know, how did you get into the entertainment business, acting and everything?
Well, like I said, Shelly, which this is Blog Talk Radio, Shelly Nunchucks on her show. I'll be honest, it started when I was very little. My parents, they really exposed me to the arts very, very at a young age. Matter of fact, I remember when my mother bought me a toy piano when I was 4 years old, and I was just banging my head on it, you know, thinking, hey, I was going to be the next music superstar, something of that nature. But I remember acting in school and student plays when I was, you know, from 7 to 14 years old, performing, you know, anthems and, you know, singing Michael Jackson's We Are the World at my 8th grade graduation. And just so many, and even doing films when I was 13, just for fun, and doing videos. I mean, I at that time, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And, you know, as I went through my, you know, high school years, that's when pretty much I started to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. At first, I actually wanted to do music. I actually wanted to, you know, produce music for, you know, people like Diddy or Jay-Z or, you know, any of those guys. I wanted to make beats. So, after which, I went to Bunker Hill Community College, took some classes and learned about media, and then next thing you know, there was a video production class over at Bunker Hill. I fell in love with it. It was something that I felt I could gravitate to. It was doing film work, understanding how to shoot a camera, and just trying to make a film project, just make something out of reality. You know, believe it or not, Shelly, we have a lot in common, because one of the first movies that I ever made was a kung fu movie.
Yes, I loved it. I remember Gangland Gossip. Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Like,
it was not that. It was not that.
No. What was
it
then?
It was called Crouching Tiger, Hidden Guy.
Do you have it? Because I have to see that. If it's not on YouTube, you've got to send it to me.
It's my email address. It's not on YouTube. It was – no, actually, it's not Crouching. It's called Crouching Horse, Hidden Guy.
And what it was,
it was just me with a toy horse, and I'm fighting a toy horse. And I'm acting like I'm the big and tough guy and everything like that. And pretty much I get my ass handed to me by the horse twice. There was a sequel.
Oh, my God. Do you have that? Do you still have that?
I think I do. I have to find some.
Because I would love, seriously. I think I'm losing signal here.
I'm here.
Okay. No, sometimes, I don't know if it's because of the main signal, I'm sorry. You probably were able to talk about it on the air. I'm actually moving around the house to get a better signal here. So you were saying about the film itself, would you be able to find it, or is it lost forever?
It's still around. I just have to really find it, to be honest with you. And that was, you know, that actually graduated like from when I was transferring to the New England Institute of Art from Mass, from Bunker Hill. We made another movie, which was a class project that was called The Street Master, where basically it was almost like Street Fighter meets Bloodsport.
I've got to see these. If you can find them, I mean, even if you don't want me to put them, you know, on my pages, I have to see them, because for me, I think I would personally enjoy them.
Yeah, honestly speaking, I have to find them. I mean, these were just like my cult classic pictures, and honestly speaking, they were fun. I'm not gonna lie, they were just the best projects that we ever do. And I was just learning about, like, you know, how to make a movie, and you know, just having so much fun just making these. And shout out to my boy Brandon, who's basically the master in the movie. He really, we basically had to fight and everything like that. So.
That's
so
funny.
Yeah, Kung Fu movies, they take a lot out of you. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, I know. I just, you know who's also a support to you because he just asked how you're doing on his big bro, Jorge DeLisa, and he's a big supporter of what you're doing. I even think I've seen him like put on your Facebook page a couple times. So, you know, he's actually a big supporter of yours too.
Yes, Z is quite possibly one of the biggest supporters of Surprise Surprise. He really as you have financially contributed, he has also well. Look out for his next film that he's basically doing out there in Maine. Z is just an amazing individual and he has a great spirit, a great heart. He is such an amazing person.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know what, the connection is, it's really great because I call you my little brother and I call him Big Brother, so it's like maybe we have a connection all together. So it's kind of like, you know, it just seems like having that creative, but now he's different from you. I mean, his film work and such, but working on sets with people like yourself and Z, you know, you guys, or people that I have good chemistry with, you know, the people that I want to keep in my life for the rest of my life. And just working the few times with you, and I was telling people earlier about when I went to the audition, and you know, I brought up All for One and how I was like, you know, I just wanted to go there and just memorize my lines because I was thinking, I don't think this is really a part for me, but just wanted to go there and get the lines out as best as I could because I was trying to go out to beginning with auditions. And it was just the fact is, afterwards, when I was done, just making you guys laugh, and you were like, I just can't let you go. You have to work with us in the future. And it's like, do you remember that? Do you remember that day? Would you want to tell the viewers about it?
What was that? I apologize. What was that again?
The day of the audition, when I first met you and the Triceptus family, when I went to audition, I went there, and I brought this up earlier, and when I was waiting for you to come on the show, when I went to audition, All for One, right? I didn't think I'd really fit a part, but I was like, you know what, I'm going to try to go for it and just see how well I do. I want to just memorize lines because that's when I first really started getting into acting. So in doing, like, after the audition and making you guys laugh so hard, you were like, you got to work with this. You didn't want to let me go. And it was kind of that, you know, how you know when you have this connection with someone and the next thing I know, you're calling me saying you wanted to write me into the pilot TV series, and that's how I became part of the Triceptus Studio family for life. If you remember that day?
Yeah, I remember that vividly. Laz was just, I was like, honestly speaking, you know, I was like, a girl with nunchucks? Really? Really? And then it's like, dude, I love her spirit. I love, you know, say I like the fact of working with people. And I was like, yeah, you know, I could kind of get used to that, to be honest with you. So, Laz was pretty much like, you know, trying to basically fill in our dynasty up with people that we can not only we can relate with, but guys who are fighters, guys who are basically are down for us no matter what the situation may be. It could be, hey, if we're rich or if we're poor, people like you, people like everyone else that we have worked with that basically aspires to be greater than what some of the parts are, despite it. You know, I like to think of us as basically, you know, basically the kids that usually don't get picked in the soccer, in the, you know, kickball tournaments, in a sense. You know, we're the guys that basically you overlook, the guys that basically, you know, who knows as much as those other pretty boys out there, but guess what, we can execute better than the pretty boys.
Yeah, and that's how I relate to you, when it was like, you know, even keeping in contact with you and having our conversations, it's like I mentioned before, that it's a couple times when I was down, you stayed in contact with me. And we, you know, it's just that connection where I just feel that it's something for the rest of our lives. No matter where I go, and I still mean it, as I say, you know, if I end up in China, wherever I work with Jackie Chan or whoever, because that is my dream, I'll never forget you guys. I mean, it's something, you've touched my heart, your company has touched my heart, and it's embedded there like a tattoo on my heart. And I'll just never forget it. And getting to work with you on sets, on the music video feel, and just having those opportunities, I just keep posting the stuff of what I was involved in all the time. Pictures of when I was on the set, you know, pictures of you and me at the hen house.
To die for, ain't they?
I want to know, now that I have you, I'm going to put you in a corner right now, Crosby. What happened that made you late? But I kept saying, I was like, because you had my ticket, and actually it's Jay Giannone that gave me the ticket. You guys were running late trying to get to the film festival. It was like the pilot for All for One, and I had to sit in there. I was there by myself, and I was sitting there going, well, at least someone's here to represent Triceptor Studio, and they ended up playing it afterwards. So what happened? Was it traffic? Dan was on the phone, and I think you guys might have been in traffic or the directions. What happened? Were you guys just dressing really stylish, and you know, it wasn't the traffic, and you just had to look good?
Well, you know, we were dressing all stylish. I mean, that was our first film festival that we were going to, so I was like, I don't care. I'm looking dapper. I don't care.
Yeah,
you know, so
you look good.
So basically, so Laz was out, and he was basically basically make sure our lineups were tight, make sure we got the suits up, you know, we were just taking pictures. It was almost like, you know, hey, we're going to our own prom with the hot lady, whatever. And we just went and we were late. There was it was the weekend that people were graduating from Tufts University. Over in Somerville.
I think I have a caller coming in. Let me see who this is and then we'll finish talking.
Sure.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Shelly. Sorry to call in twice, but I just had to say hi to my Triceptive crew again.
Oh, my gosh. It's the main man himself, Mr. Dan McCready.
Crosby, congratulations, sir. I heard the news.
Excellent, sir. Thank you very much.
Joe, you there?
Oh, JoJo had to leave.
Okay. I've got like a few minutes delay on my computer, so.
You just missed him.
Ah, that's a shame. I don't ever get to talk to JoJo as much as I used to, so. Ah, well.
Yeah, there's always Facebook. You can always message people.
I've heard about this newfangled Facebook. How does it work?
You're too funny.
Yeah, I think you make a page or something, and then you just put your face on there.
Okay,
and then you just invite all your other friends. You got
and of course
that, right?
Wait, is that the site you use for making a name political rants?
I think you do. I think it's Twitter.
Yeah, because it's for well-thought-out reasoned political arguments, but I didn't know you could actually socialize with people on that. See, now I learned something.
Well, didn't you know, nowadays, people, they don't really talk on the phone anymore. Everything's technology, and I hate that. It's kind of like you try to text someone or write something on the internet, and you're not mad or anything, and people were like, are you mad? And I'm like, no, I'm actually in a good mood when I post it on Facebook, and it's kind of like, all you got to do is pick up the phone and call me. Do you know what I'm saying? No one wants to be on the phone talking, so the people that I feel like are the closest to me are the ones that I actually talk on the phone with.
Hey, you know what a really great experiment is?
Hmm.
Check this out. This is something that I really have done. Try one time. Try this. Try to basically post a negative comment that basically you're like, oh my gosh, I hate life. I hate this person. I hate that person. And next thing you know, watch how many people will comment on that, as opposed
to
someone
who
they have a lot of positivity.
No, I can't do that. If I do that, there's, you know that Jackie Chan has a Facebook page, right?
Oh,
he has a
he has
over 27 million. Huh?
You'll introduce me and Jackie, right?
Well, I'll put the page where he welcomes everybody on. So it was a couple years ago, and I had said I was having a bad day and stuff, and I had said something, and Jackie himself went on my page. He's like, telling me to be good. And I almost fell off. It's like, you know, you know, it's not something on Facebook, you know. That's not something where you air your anything, any dirty laundry out or anything like that, because people do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not what my Facebook is for. It's post positive, not negative. All these positive quotes where, you know, that's what I do on a daily basis, because what people don't know what I'm doing on my Facebook, and I know I shouldn't have to explain because it's my Facebook, I'm doing it on my Facebook wall and not polluting other people's wall. I keep constantly putting positive quotes. I'm grabbing them because what people don't know, sometimes I'm talking to a person on a phone or getting an email, and I'll talk with people that have been put down about their dreams. So I grab these quotes, and it's actually for a person themselves, and instead of polluting other people's Facebook wall with many of my things, since it's my Facebook, I should be able to do whatever I want. So I just repeatedly go on to my Facebook page, and even stuff that I'm in, even with Crosby, I'll keep posted over and over again. So, you know, no matter what you do, I mean, people are going to complain, but it's my Facebook page. I'm going to do what I want, so I'm putting positive stuff, positive energy. So people, if they want to do, you know, if they want to air the dirty laundry, that's perfectly okay, but that's not my cup of tea. So you understand where I'm coming from?
Oh, I understand. Oh, yeah.
We understand completely, and honestly, that's what you know, saying Facebook should be used for, in a sense. It's a way you just can reconnect with those who are close to you and just spread positivity. I'm just saying in regard to individuals that a lot of people, especially a lot of people I know, you know, they really bash their day and like it's nobody's business. And honestly speaking, why would you want to do that? And
you have to like just bless people.
Yeah, and I've been known to do that, to really just lay my issues in just on Facebook, because, you know, it just, in some ways it kind of helps me cope, but in other ways that's not really good, because now I'm in a position where people know me on a public level, almost on a I wouldn't say superstar level, but I would like to say basically on a media availability level, where they'll be like, oh my gosh, what is Crosby Tatum doing? And people will question that. And so, you know, you always have to look after what you're writing, so that people will, you know, saying, give you the 9 1/3 or 10th degree about what they question about you. So just always have that in the back of your mind when you post something on Facebook. I'm not saying you can't, that's what you should do. You could go nuts on it. You know, that's up to you.
Yeah, no,
but,
I mean, and people do. They fight back and forth on Facebook. And another thing, too, is sometimes, you know, I don't hear from people, and it's people that I try to send messages to, and I write about Jackie Chan on my Facebook wall because that's the guy that I want to work with. And somebody will comment, say, I know they're kidding around, but they'll make fun of Jackie or something that I post. It's like all of a sudden someone's making fun of something, yet they're not contacting me, so I take it down. I says, people, if they want to argue on the Facebook wall, I'm not having it. There's a couple things that I don't have on my Facebook wall, and I don't care what anybody says. I don't have anybody making fun of anybody's race or sexuality, and I'm not going to bring up stuff like that on my show, but on my Facebook page. And let me say, if anybody ever made fun of another race on my Facebook wall, I'll just have to block them. It's just something where you see people's Facebook walls, and there's all this argument, and I'm like, all you got to do is delete it, and that puts an end to it, because I'm not having it on my Facebook page. And believe me, if I ever said anything on you guys' Facebook page, I'm like, hey, Crosby, there's something on your Facebook page just to look out for you guys, you know, because you're hardworking, you're a good person, you're a good person like myself, and with the conversations we've had, I'll never forget that. When I was down and out, and, you know, when I was looking for a place to stay and all sorts of stuff, you know, you said you'd try to, like, help me out and, you know, look on Craigslist and stuff. I won't forget that, and here I am with going through things I went through. I'm living in the house, you know, I have a job, and I'm working on films. So the people that were actually there for me on my downtime where everything is coming together, those are the people that I want to keep in my life. And I'll never forget that. So I'll always keep posting about you, Crosby. Believe me, surprise, surprise, you know, I can have you on my radio show as much as I want. If you're too busy, you want to call in as a guest, go right ahead, because believe me, you're going to be part of my life for the rest of my life. You're my little brother, and just remember that. Blood, maybe, you know, you might be born with certain people, you know, brothers and sisters, but, you know, love is stronger than blood.
Very well put.
Love is thicker than water.
Yeah, love is thicker than blood, actually, right?
I guess.
I mean, that's kind of a science-y nerd type answer, and I couldn't answer that quantitatively.
Well, aren't we all kind
of
nerds in our own way? I mean, that's what we are.
I mean,
you know.
I would say I'm more a dork because I don't understand newfangled technology.
Me neither. I'm a tech tart, so don't feel bad.
So, yeah, so we're dorks, you see. Crosby understands all this newfangled technology, so he's more kind of perhaps that.
I'm an Uber. No, I'm an Uber dork.
Yeah. I mean, you understand technology.
What?
You see,
I'm an Uber dork.
You can ask Crosby this. I am the most technologically challenged person on the planet, and you've seen it, Crosby. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. You know, you couldn't know, like, you know, saying a wristwatch to a dishwash. You know what I'm saying?
No. Not at all.
That is really funny. It's like we're all, like, no wonder why we all have great chemistry together, because we're all tech tards.
Yeah, you know, pretty much. We're dinosaurs in our own way.
Yeah, but you guys, you should be a little bit more up on the tech stuff, because I am a little bit older than you guys, so you guys should be knowing some more stuff on the tech stuff.
Well, I got a smartphone, and I just figured out how to make a phone call on it, so that's step one.
Well, don't feel bad. I got a Droid phone, and I have no idea how to use it. Of course, you know, I got mine for free, because you know how people, when they first get stuff, they pay like $500 for a phone. I says, you know what? I'm going to wait till the price goes down, so I got my phone for free.
Now, you see, that's good fiscal thinking there, Shelley.
Yeah. Plus, the money with anything, like, I think Crosby would even understand this about certain things. I would rather pay the money, you know, to put into a film than certain things, like the latest style of clothing or whatever. I'd rather have more money and, you know, to make more films. And I think Crosby and anybody of the filmmakers, I think what we all think, some people do want to become rich and have it as a job. But for me, to own my own house, right, it doesn't have to be the most expensive house, but the house paid off, okay? Have another brand new car, right? It doesn't have to be the most expensive, but have it paid off. And then invest in more films. And even, you know, you get more money, even if I'm busy working on a film, like, you know, if I had the money, I'd be investing in Crosby's film. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like giving that opportunity to do things. And I think it's the wise way to do it. And plus, you won't have to worry about, you know, the IRS and stuff. You know what I'm saying? You're paying your taxes, you have everything paid off, then there'd be no worries. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Well, you know what? The thing about being rich is, it's nice to be rich if you can use it to help out people, you know, if you can pull other people up along the way. That's the nice thing about being rich. And also not having to worry about, like, you know, was the rent going to be paid this month? That's a nice thing about being rich. Beyond that, I don't know what else, you know, it doesn't have freedom to it,
like,
but you shouldn't think of too much of it. You got to use it for, you know, live a good life, live a life that's for others and yourself, and, you know, then you're okay.
Yeah, because it's basically, actually, you know, like with my life, it's kind of like, you know, I had a chance to live in a place that was like a Shaolin temple for like 4 months, and I don't think people will ever understand. I mean, that's the closest I ever got to like living in a place like a Shaolin temple where you actually have to get invited to go and train, and it had rules and stuff, and so it's something that I'll never forget, and it helped me in my own way, to help me become smarter in my own life. So I just feel blessed knowing with that, learning how to bring people like Crosby and you, Dan, into my life and having the smart people that actually have brains and intelligence and are creative. Those are the people that I want in my life more and more. And, you know, I'm just so super happy. I mean, I just want to jump up and down, but it's so hot in the house right now. I'm so super excited for Crosby. I can't even tell you because I remember when this just first started. I'm so thrilled. I wish you could see me. I'm here. I'm just like, I'm in my pajamas, just chilling right now. I'm going to go after the show. Because this was a last-minute thing. I'm sitting here. I've got no bra on. It's all hanging free, and I'm just sitting here going, you know, it's kind of like, I got to get this set up, and it's like, there's no, like, mid-time, and this is all new to me, and I was like, I saw the news on Crosby's walls, and I was like, Crosby, you're not working right now. I was like, we're going to announce it on the air. So it was like, it's counting down. It was like 5 minutes to air. And I'm like, oh, and you have to like try to grab a picture and set up the time because it was for 3:30. If not, it'd be after 4 o'clock. So I got everything set up. And it was like 30 seconds to air. And I'm like, oh, phew. And so that's how I started doing the show because I was going to go for a bike ride. and go biking. I mean, I didn't care if it was raining. But I was like, I saw this. No, I got to do a show. I don't care. I'll go out afterwards for a bike ride. But right now, you know, just going to have Crosby announcers on the air, because the other good thing, guys, remember, even though this is live and on the air, afterwards it's archived so you guys can listen to it as many times as you want.
Basically, we really, it's amazing that, you know, we are able to do what we have done for you know, this show. Honestly, I was not even, I didn't even think about announcing this on your show until, like, later this week. Because, honestly, there are going to be some more announcements that are going to be shouted out on later with Surprise Surprise. Some really cool stuff is on the way, guys, and you guys really have to stay tuned. Follow, you know, hit our website up at surprisethis.com, SURPRISETHIS.com. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, you know, saying we also got a Google Plus page, so you could definitely, you know, saying share your circles on that. And actually, I just want to do a quick shout out to my homegirl Michelle Brewer out in Chicago, Illinois. She's actually going to be in Boss season 2 Kelsey Grammer. So look out for her. She's going to be in, I believe, episode 2. So I just want to give a quick shout out to my homegirl Michelle Brewer. Amazing work. Yep, she's doing amazing work out there. Like, my Boston Chicago connections are in play right now. And also, I just want to give a real quick shout-out to my man Mark Harrison, the 2012 Inglewood Film Festival that he's playing out there. Inglewood is basically a neighborhood in Chicago that is very dilapidated. There's so many issues with guns and violence. However, it's still such a neighborhood, much like a Dorchester or a Mattapan in Boston, that basically needs your support. So please look up the 2012 Inglewood Film Festival on Facebook and support them. As believe it or not, I believe Surprise teaser trailer will be played out there at the festival
wonderful.
In Chicago. So that's a little I didn't want to do that, but guess what? I just did it. So please support the Inglewood Film Festival. Shout out to my mentor Chris Nolan, who just finished doing a film starring Tanji Miller, Christian Cheese, and Maya Gilbert called The Good Life that me and Lad were a part of, believe it or not. So we have now major film credits, thanks to Chris Nolan, who I appreciate as my big mentor, who's really shown me what it's like to do films on this level. So pretty much, I'm a product of all the work that he's done, and Chris is an amazing individual.
Hey Crosby, didn't mean to interrupt. I think we have another caller. Let's see who this is. Hold on, and then we can talk some more.
Sure.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Shelley.
Hey, is this Joe?
Yeah,
Joe
from Montana?
I'm doing good. You've been listening to the show today?
Just got here. I saw that your show was on, so I figured let me pop on in.
Sure. If you've been listening to it, you got any questions for Crosby here with his film? You want to ask him?
Not. Like I said, I just got here, so I don't even know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Crosby, you want to do a little bit of a summary?
Well, Joe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Joe. Basically, my name is Crosby Tatum. I'm a feature film producer from Boston, Massachusetts, and we're talking about my new feature film, Surprise, Surprise. We are casting our characters from the movie, and we actually here today announced two new additions to our film project, Allison Walkler and also Javon Holland, who are now officially a part of our movie project.
Okay, you're an independent producer then, huh?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And currently, we have a number of individuals that are getting ready to make this feature film a reality. And now on top of our fundraising efforts, so raising some money for this movie, we are just telling everyone about our film and what's going to happen when we start production, and also how basically talk about how this film is going to get out to the public. We're also talking about our premiere night and also the festivals that we're going to accumulate once the film is completed.
Well, okay, good. Good luck to you.
Well, thank you very much. And if you want, please.
You
just
broke
please.
Up.
Hello, do you hear me now?
Sorry, I don't know if it's because of the connection on my phone, so I apologize. I'm trying to move around because the studio hooked up to the computer, but I'm also using my phone. So I know if it has to do because I'm up here in Maine, so I'm trying to get a better signal. So if you want to repeat that last thing that you said, Crosby.
Yes, just want to tell Joe, if you want, please check out our website at surprisethis.com. That's SURPRISETHIS.com. So you can find out about our feature film, check out our trailer, and also, if you want, be a part of our movie and also have your name in our film credits, believe it or not.
Well, I'm not an actor, so I don't have the bug, so thanks for the invite. I won't be going out on any auditions. I guess as a person who likes movies, maybe I could ask, what's the major difficulty that you, as an independent person, normally have in trying to get together, put together, and trying to get the actors and the, well, I guess you're the executive producer, but getting people to not only invest in an independent film, but getting people to participate in. What are the major obstacles?
Well, the obstacles pretty much are, number one, you got to get people to believe in your idea. You have to get people to understand what you're doing. What is your goal? You know what I'm saying? What is it that you want to do with this film? It always starts with one person, and that usually is the producer, and then it just grows into many. And then pretty much the difficulties is, you know, do we need money or don't we need money? Do we need locations? Don't we need locations? How many actors do we need? Basically, do we need big name actors in order to sell? You know, how are we going to get our money back and things of that nature? I mean, there's just a myriad of just different issues. But when you just isolate one particular issue and you just focus on it, then pretty much everything else just follows suit. Once you just realize, you know, what is it that you want to do, what's the goal, how you're going to get the goal, and also basically what is it going to take to get to the goal. So it's just all about, it's just really all about basically the issues that you deal with is just basically time, money, organization, and just what is it that you want to do. That's pretty much the issues that we usually face. But from our perspective, we always organize ourselves to the point where basically we all know what we're going to do before we even do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't advise Shelley to let me talk too much longer because I'll just keep on asking questions. So I'll just shut up.
That's what it's about.
go for it.
Feel free. No, go ahead, Joe. Feel free to ask a few more questions.
Well, because right, I've, you know, I've been in marketing, and from a business aspect, I would just want to find out, how do you expect to make it successful? That's a very generalized type of question, but the devil's in the details. You know, again, that's why I asked my first question about how do you expect to get people to participate. If you had money, there wouldn't be any problem. So how would you go about raising the money so that you could actually use that carrot to get the kind of actors that you want, to get the kind of production people that you want, in order to also make sure that the mayors will grant you permits to get the location, stuff like that?
Well, as you know, with different feature films, you go through a myriad of different fundraising efforts to basically raise money for a feature film. Matter of fact, in a couple of weeks from now, we're going to have a special presentation soliciting donors and investors to participate in our movie. To basically detail basically how, you know, what is our film project about, why we're making it, and also how they're going to get their money back. You have to think of a feature film almost like, in a sense, like how a dot-com business or a biochemical business is usually made up. You want to start basically, okay, you have your rounds of, you basically have your concept idea, you have a certain type, you have, you know, your round stages of funding from your family and friends, or loans, or certain different type of funding, funding in, you know, environments, and then basically your exit. You can also the sale or the exit strategy, usually a distributor that you would go to in order to get your money back. That will put it on multiple platforms. And basically the rewards for recoupment of any type of investment is very substantial when you go to a distributor or financer.
Well, I would imagine that the rate of return on a good movie would be a hell of a lot more, except for video games, than just about any other type of business venture. But again, you have to go to potential investors if you're a startup, or if you're trying to bring out from an existing company some kind of new product and trying to get venture capital. But
right. Sorry to cut you off, but however, we'd just like to note that basically feature films of great quality or even less quality are possible and can be made and distributed with just basically the speck of a dollar to pretty much almost $200 or $300 or $500 million of that amount. Matter of fact, Ed Burns, who is a very famous film producer director, made a feature film project for $9,000. And basically, that has recouped at least a good, at least five or seven times that amount.
But he's the exception.
Probably
he did the Civil War films. He was a documentarian, so he actually went to the archives and got out films for that. He didn't really have to go all around the world like a lot of companies. Well, being an independent, I presume you wouldn't have to go around the world either. But he didn't have to use a hell of a lot of live actors. And he's done that twice. I think one on baseball, one on the Civil War. And he's an exceptional documentarian. And the only other two that I know of that are exceptional would be Michael Moore and, oh, he just escaped me.
That's only in the scope of documents. That's only in the scope of documents. You're talking in the scope of narratives, in a sense.
Yeah.
Which basically, when you're dealing in a fictional landscape, you can pretty much do it for whatever price. Especially with documentary, that can also be with any other price as well.
Well, yeah, he didn't have to use the live actors, and he got his films afterwards. He got them first exhibited on PBS. So he had a automatic worldwide audience by doing that. And since they were good, and since they were well received at that time, he went on to fame. You're going to do
right.
a live production. You've already got a couple of actors signed up, right?
Yeah, so our actors are signed up, very well-versed. We're having at least one of our actors has been in film and TV shows such as All My Children and also worked with Robert Wahlberg. On top of myself, I've actually worked on a feature film project that's actually getting distributed by E1 called The Good Life. That features some notable Hollywood black actors from Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, for individuals who looking to really be a part of our film project or invest or you know whatever, you know, our track record speaks for itself in terms of filmmakers and people who actually work with us who actually have gone on to go on to bigger and better films, such as one of our actors actually was cast in Disney's Underdog.
Mm-hmm.
That was a worldwide film. I think that grossed at least a good $100-200 million.
Can I ask some more questions, Shelley? Do you want to take over your own show?
Sure. No, that's what I'm going to have people. If you want to ask maybe another question and then see if anybody else wants to come, go ahead, shoot, Joe. Ask it one more question.
Okay. Why would I, as an investor, want to invest in this particular project when it could fail, as opposed to any other project that may or may not fail, but also might become quite successful?
Well, think of it like as a bank. Think of our film as like a really good savings account. Now, I know for a fact that, say, if you was an investor, you would want to basically put your money into an account and have that percentage or have that, you know, that interest. You want that to build for, like, you know, whatever 5 or 6% that you got or that you put into a bank, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, how to say that basically it takes 10 years just to build up a certain amount of interest at 5 or 10%, and you can actually put in for our film project at a rate double that and only get your money back within 1 to 2 years tops.
Well,
even
yeah.
sooner.
Uh-huh.
Even sooner based on certain incentives that our project qualifies with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
You asked me. So basically, if you was to put any type of money into a feature film project, you're, you know, yes, the high risk is there, but you also receive the high reward as well. Not to mention the minimum that a film project, if done on the low end, the lowest that it can actually
well,
gain out is pretty
question.
Much over $50,000 or above.
Here's my real question, because that, you know, that answer is, you know, it's good. No offense, but coming from an insurance salesman, but why would I want to invest in a project where I don't know if you can put fannies in the seats?
What if I could tell you that I already have at least comparable film projects that actually have low-ended, basically low-ended budgets, but also high-reward results?
Well, that's the aim of a lot
that
of,
are comparable.
You know.
Not to mention also the fact that basically our comparable audiences are basically in the thousands with our email marketing, within our Facebook pages, and also in our video updates. We have a built-in audience that will purchase our film project.
Well, you know what? I've seen that treatment, but I've seen proposals by people who have said the same thing. Now, again, I'm talking from a business perspective. I'm assuming I'm an investor, okay, because I've done business. So I'm not taking a look at it anymore from being a fan. But I want to put my money into some place. You know, again,
right.
You can
and
tell
you,
me
and
that.
You want, and you want to put your money into something where there is an audience, that there is basically people that will come to see it and that they will put their money towards it.
There have been a lot of, yes, you know, if I keep going, it's going to turn into a business.
It's going to be into a pitch, basically, that what we're pulling together. Let me just give you for the record that with our film project, with Surprise, Surprise, we already have a very great audience already. Matter of fact, I'm not sure if you noticed or not, but basically the audience we're targeting is the African-American 18 to 49 demographic, which represents over 12% of the entire feature film market. And honestly, they're the most consistent film market, film viewers that actually go out and actually view movies on a regular. They account for at least $2 to $3 billion in film markets, where in fact comedy films is their number one choice for seeing in the movie theaters.
Since our
audience is guaranteed to that, I'm sorry to cut you off, sir, but since our market is geared towards that, you know, the lowest that we can actually get is basically a minimum, at least around a good $50,000 to $100,000 in gross sales, because of the fact that our audience is pre-built. It is social. It represents over 85% of individuals who suffer from some form of lacking self-esteem. So there is amazing crossover from that.
So what do you say the gross will be?
Gross is basically the lowest that you can possibly gross out of this movie is at least a good $100,000. The most that you can see from this is at least a good $1.1 to $2.1 million.
In other words, you can also make a movie for about $10,000, $20,000.
Mm-hmm. At least for $20,000. And the reason why we're doing that is because of the fact that lower budgets yields high rewards. So the lower you shoot this thing for, the lower you shoot this, the higher it can be.
Okay, you're saying that there's going to be a minimum gross of $100,000, and that's all that's necessary in order for it to turn into a very successful movie.
Indeed, because
it
was shot for minimal budgets, high yielding rewards.
So what's your maximum budget?
Maximum budget, if you want to talk in terms, is basically $50,000. And we say $50,000 because we also have guaranteed with named actors who might come on board with our film project.
So if you have name actors, they must be working for a percentage of the gross then.
At least a good percentage, yes. However, they are busy. However, for the roles, the characters that we have in the and for the film, they are currently busy. But however, for at least the lowest amount of money that you can get to shoot this movie, you know what I'm saying, you still can cross it over because of the fact that basically the audience are more susceptible to comedy films and also to other, you know, films in the African American demographic.
And honestly,
Joe, say if I'm an investor and I want to put, like, let's say $500 into this film project, the lowest amount, like $500 to this film project, with 10% rate of interest. Now, I could tell you that if you want to put, you know, $500 to $1,000 into our film project, you know what I'm saying, not only am I going to get you back that $500, but I'm also going to add 10% to you within 1 to 2 years, 12 to 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention that, but say if you want to invest like $25,000 to $50,000, that percentage increased to at least 25% to 50% on a rate of interest. So not only will I be getting that $25,000 or $50,000 back to you, but I'm also going to give you that.
Mm. answer would be I'll let you go back to Shelley because I can talk business figures all day. So I'll let you go back
to Shelley
so you two can talk about entertainment.
Yeah, and Joe, if you want, you can request me invest. If you want, I can send you a prospectus if you would like to know more about our film project.
I'd rather go to your website.
Yeah,
but if
you
head
to our website, Crosby.
It's surprisethis.com.
Right, you gave that out, right. Mm-hmm.
Yep, surprisethis.com. And actually, you can download our film prospectus right there as well.
Good.
Within our donate section.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question, Joe? I know you guys know more about business than I do, but did that answer your question?
Well, I would have a few more, but again, I would turn this into a business show as opposed to an entertainment show. So
yeah.
One of the great things about show business is the business side of show business, which is I actually preach this to a lot of filmmakers, and that is usually when you make a film, you know, you definitely got to have like if not, just have like the best cast that you can possibly get. And even so, film is such a wide medium that everyone is going to see it. It's pretty much going to be there. You know, with the new technologies that basically need all the ancillary markets that are available, anyone can just access media at any time for as minimal cost to maximum cost. So it's pretty much a play to ear, and also the fact that we have experience with marketing and also with getting the word out that basically our numbers usually tend to project higher than that.
Yeah.
So
does that sort of answer everything for now? The the question, Joe.
No, like I said, I would have a few more questions, but again, I would send them back to you for the entertainment value of the show as opposed to the business side.
Yeah. Because that's basically
right.
What I know. I know how to entertain. So if you want, Joe, you know, you're always welcome in to call in and talk. If you see me, usually it's Wednesday nights, 9 to 11. It's just that Crosby, I'm connected with him on Facebook, and I saw his, he's like, I got to announce some good news. So the last minute, getting everything together, and that's why I'm doing a show today. So I think we got about, like, 14 minutes left. And, Joe, I thank you so much for calling in, and you're welcome to call in anytime.
Sure. Take it easy.
Oh, and Joe, one other thing.
Yeah.
Joe, one other thing. Just to let you know also, usually when film projects usually are successful, they usually also have distribution-oriented tact. And that's one of the things that we have a great advantage of is that we do have distribution. We're in talk with some major distributors. So I'll leave you with that. And basically reach out, check out our website, check out our film project, and also our investment prospectus if you feel like, hey, this is something pretty good. And just check out what we got to offer, and please just support us.
Okay. All right.
And thank you, Joe. You have a wonderful Sunday.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. That was really, really kind of cool. I actually had Joe on the show another time, and you know what we ended up talking about?
What would that be?
We ended up talking about Rocky. I'm not kidding. I'm like thinking of you, but it was like he brought it up, and he ended up talking about that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody loves Rocky, and it's like, I think you're one of like myself, Crosby. You know, we love Rocky and that underdog thing. That's what we got going for us, where we just got to beat all the odds. You know, with your filming, with what you're doing. And just bringing it, because it's like, if you really think about it, what's hard is how Hollywood wants to seem to produce a certain type of beauty. And I know for one, I don't fit in that cookie cutter mode. So it's kind of like, where do I fit in? And I do comedy, I do the crazy roles, and you do these fun-loving characters that you really can fall in love with, you know, and enjoy. You know, that's what we have to work with. So Rocky is kind of our thing. I mean, I'm a Jackie Chan girl, but the Rocky essence and that video, I've seen it a couple of times. You're in Philadelphia running up the stairs, and you've got the Rocky theme going. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, he's just nuts. But you have to love you, bro.
Yeah, by the way, shout out to Chanel Alston, who helped me videotape that whole situation. I was visiting her, and, you know, shout out to her because basically, you know, without that videotape, I was like, yeah, I got to do this. Got to do it. No questions asked.
It was funny because I saw you running off the end. I was like, man, he's looking better. I was like, you even look like you're losing weight. I was like, well, go, bro. With now, the other thing you didn't mention, I want you to talk about for about 10 minutes. Not only do you act, but you train in a martial class.
Mixed martial arts. I'm a dangerous individual.
Yes, but you wouldn't think of that, but when you posted a picture and I didn't realize it was you, and there was no, you didn't have a shirt on, I was like, oh my gosh, Crosby's looking good. It's like from when I first met you to that picture, from you training, it does look like you've been working hard on your body. And I give you a lot of props to that because, you know, it's something where I hope it's helped your, you know, your self-esteem in general because from even meeting you from the first time, even before you started losing the weight, I thought your self-esteem was great because you have this energy. You always make me smile. Anytime, those times that I've been around you, I've always felt comfortable. And it's something that, you know, enjoy your company. And if I didn't have to come up here, we'd be hanging out way more. We'd be going to events together, even like, you know, a whole bunch of people and stuff like that. I would love that. We'd be seeing like maybe some films together and stuff. And You just got that spirit. You've got that rocky feeling to it, and that's why I connect with you. And so how did you get into the martial arts? Like, what are you training in?
I'm training in a multitude. With mixed martial arts, there are so many disciplines that go into go into mixed martial arts. You got Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you got Muay Thai, you got wrestling, you got judo. There's so many different disciplines, and sometimes you got in mixed martial arts somebody that's experienced in one field or the other, and then basically it's just multituding. It's just competing to, just competing to basically see, you know, how good you are against that other person. And, you know, as much as people claim it as a blood sport, it really is just a test of endurance, skill, strength against the other person, his skill and strength, and being the best, really. Like I said, I started going in love. I actually mentioned this the last one time that, hey, I was like, hey, I'm thinking about trying this mixed martial arts thing out. And basically that led me out to training over at Best Way, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Mixed Martial Arts Academy in Quincy for a little bit. There's so many incredible trainers and fighters over there. Say from my boy Mike Rodriguez, he just had a fight, KO'd somebody in 8 seconds. To my boy DJ Espino, he's trained up for his next fight. He's a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and also Mike is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. My boy Anthony, he's also a blue belt as well. So there's a lot of guys out there that are really coming up right now. And pretty much after I moved out to Attleboro, I just trained up with some guys over at the Ruckus Fighting Academy with Ruben Ray and pretty much Joe Pigatori, them fighters out there. And so just learning up, it really helped. I love grappling, love, you know, Muay Thai, you know, and all these other things. I just got to get contact so I can find out where these punches are coming from. That's all.
Yeah, you're just, what you're doing, it's amazing because, you know, usually people start out when they're a kid. And, I know you're younger than me. I mean, I don't like to bring up age with people, but the other thing that I've noticed, because I don't mind saying I'm 41, and I just recently got into martial arts due to, where it was kind of a bad situation. I came out of a bad relationship, and instead of feeling sorry for myself, I stepped into a dojo when I trained in capoeira, and that just helped me with my self-esteem. And I don't know if you've had the same feeling like with me, and everybody's like, Shelly, you're really funny. You really should get into acting. I go, well, I'm not pretty enough. And they're like, you don't understand. You know, so I started getting into dinner theater and got paid for the shows. And they're like, Shelly, you should get into films. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm really, you know, I don't look like a model. They're like, you still don't get it. You're funny. You have a personality. So I started getting more into more independent films and having a little bit basic martial arts experience and just loving myself for who I am. And I wish somehow I had that when I was little. But I feel blessed. Like, I trained a year in Tai Chi with Z. So that was kind of an amazing thing where, you know, I don't know when I'll start training again, but I think with martial arts, it does go beyond the dojo. I mean, do you think that? I mean, I know you're training now, but it's also something that becomes part of your life, and you improve as a human being. So what is your take on that?
I personally think it is, it's definitely good for the spirit and good for the soul. I personally, like I said, it really has helped me out because I have my spurts of anger and, you know, management. But honestly, just training and getting all that aggression out, it really has helped me center myself and to think clearly and to really, really just focus on, you know, what my goals are, what I want to be. My old teacher, Kenny Kwan, once told me that no matter what it is that you want in life, you got to fight for it. You know, and, you know, when you fight, when you train hard, when you learn, when you understand, it becomes such a great part of your life that you can certainly just, you can just do anything possible. I mean, whatever anger is inside of you, it just gets cleansed out of you. And that's really, that's what I really like about mixed martial arts, the training aspect. Will I fight? I don't know, but I just like training. I just like, it just helps me focus because my whole thing is I'm a filmmaker first and foremost before anything else. No, I take that back. First and foremost, I'm a child of God, you know, before anything
yes.
like that. I apologize.
Yes.
I'm a child of God first and foremost, but secondly after that, I'm a filmmaker, and then everything else that falls in, that's where it is, you know?
Yeah, you're multi-talented, and I know I only got a few minutes left here. The only thing on the list here is Feel. I played that in the beginning of the song because I'm actually working off Charlie's show, where she gave me slots to do, so I don't really know how to, like, to get the music into the system. She had
Charlie's
Feel
moving
on
up.
There. Yeah, so she has your song in there, some Feel, so I play that from time to time. I mention you from time to time, and really quickly, what is the website and stuff? Because we got it less than a few minutes, and I want to make sure I get Feel in there at the end.
Okay, no problem. The website is www.surprisethis.com. Please log on to our website. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Surprise the Film. You can learn so much about our film project, view our teaser trailer, learn our new cast and crew. There are new updates coming up real soon about everything that's going on with our film. And also, like I said, it's just Surprise Surprise is an amazing project. Make sure you hashtag on your Twitter, Team Surprise, and you can certainly just join up with our film project and join up with our cast and crew and get involved with our film. And briefly, I just want to give a shout-out to my homegirl, Michelle Brewer, out in Chicago, Illinois. If I haven't shouted you out beforehand, I'm shouting you out right now. You know, saying good luck with our boss. Out in Chicago, Illinois, Chris Nolan, Mark Harris, and everyone from the Chicago crew. Hopefully you guys are doing all right over there. My L.A. crew out there, from Gail Rosenberg to Gloria Morrison. Hopefully you guys are doing all right as well. Also my man Peter Edward, who's out in L.A., shout out to you too. And also to a very special lady, Mary Moore. I hope you're doing all right, love. Stay up. Keep your head up. And also to the Surprise Surprise family, the Tricepta Studios family, thank you very much for allowing me to basically be the head of this house and to do this film project. And from the bottom of my heart and also from Laz, we appreciate and thank all of you for the support and admiration and adulation that you have given us. And we're going to do our best to make a very good feature film project.
Okay, well, thank you, Crosby, and I'm sure I'm going to have you on the show again.
No, thank you very much, Shelley. Have a good day. Thank you for having me.
Okay. All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And here, ladies and gentlemen, is the song Feel. And actually, I was in this music video, and I'm proud of it, and I'll keep featuring on my Facebook page. So here we go to end the show.
Yeah. Let's rip. Caterpie. Miss Smith and Envy. For the little 9, y'all. Yeah. Check this out. Yeah. Tricepta's Studio. Ha, check it. Yeah, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toastin' it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your 9. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant all on. Yeah, go on. It's the way how you touching me, sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
Ooh, I like the way you always touching on me. Ooh, I like the way you put chills on my body. Ooh, I like the way you always on my mind. Ooh, I like the way how you do it every time. You just make me feel.
Prime time player, used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jazz. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the blinged up loops plus the line up here. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to steer. Living like Liberace with rockets to spare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was death a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now